There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Third and final hour of the show. Opportunities for you to get involved. Text us now on 4001. Get your thoughts in. Let's find out what's happening in the Emirates FA Cup at the moment. Our man Matt Fortune is watching this one for us.
Yeah, we're about 15 minutes from the end, Tom. Brighton still leading Derby 2-0. But there is something quite interesting that's happened in the last 15, 20 minutes. Ashley Cole has come on for the Rams. I know that he signed in January. He's been playing a little bit in the Championship. But Ashley Cole is adding a bit of FA Cup pedigree to this afternoon's proceedings. He has won the famous old tournament more than any other player.
No.
Indeed, five times. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And he can't be young anymore, Ashley Cole.
No, well, we were talking off air. Carl had a guess at what did you think? 34, 35?
Yeah.
And I thought he was a little bit younger than that, bizarre. He's actually 38, Ashley Cole. He's had he had half a season, maybe one season in Italy after leaving Chelsea. And then he was over in LA for a couple of years. But he's back. He's had he left LA at the end of last season. He's had a few months off. And has joined up with his old pal Frank at Derby.
Frank. And I saw Frank's dad there as well. Frank Senior is in the crowd as well, yawning, as he usually does as well. So good to see that dad's there to support you and just yawning with his feet up in the crowd.
Obviously, young Frank's not playing an interesting enough brand of football to keep the old man awake.
Islamabad United taking on the Multan Sultans in the Pakistan Super League. This one's been played down the road at Dubai Sports City at the Dubai International Cricket Stadium. And what is going on at the moment? Well, Multan Sultans are 44 for the loss of 3 wickets. From 8.6 overs. Remember, they are chasing down 126 for victory. They require another 82 runs with 7 wickets and 10.5 overs remaining. Who are the men out? Shan Masood run out by Shadab Khan. Charles was caught behind off the bowling of Waxar Maksud. And Laurie Evans has also gone caught and bowled by Shadab Khan. So who's at the crease? Shoaib Malik and Hamad Azam at the moment. Still to come, Andre Russell, Shahid Afridi, Chris Green and others as well. So lots going on in the world of cricket. I'll keep an eye on that one for you throughout proceedings. In the meantime, though, we're going to turn our attention to the world of rugby. And why do we want to talk rugby? Because Super Rugby is back.
The EU said there'll be no renegotiation.
It is a chilly start with widespread icy conditions.
Welcome to the Super Rugby Show.
Incredible, it really is. Are you not entertained?
Israel's allowed! The pace, the music! Oh, that is outstanding from Paddy Rachalik,
your Super Rugby champion, the Crusaders!
3 games in already today. Still a couple more to come today. There were games last night as well, Carl van Rosenfeld, and some big ones to look forward to tomorrow as well. Super Rugby's back with a bang.
Yeah, it's back with a bang, Tom. And what I can tell you is it's all been going the way of the away teams, should I rather say. Sharks beat the Sunwolves 45-10 a little bit earlier on this afternoon. Hurricanes have beat New South Wales 20-19. Once again, a sitter missed by Bernard Foley. And then the Crusaders beating the Blues earlier this morning, 24-22. Once again, horrific place kicking by Harry Plummer, and 2 penalty tries awarded to the Crusaders. And as I say, yesterday the competition kicked off yesterday afternoon with the Blues. Should I rather say the Chiefs taking on the Highlanders. Once again, the Highlanders beat the Chiefs at their home ground, 30-27. The Rebels beating the Brumbies, 34-27. But bad news for the Brumbies as Pocock looks injured once again.
Yeah, it looks like that concussion has come back to blight his season yet again. We'll keep an eye on that one. Looking forward to this game, though, at 7:15. Bulls against Stormers. Should be a Stormer itself.
Yeah, it should be, Tom. And as you said, the interesting thing is Dwayne Vermeulen, of course, former Stormers captain, he's now playing for the Bulls this afternoon. It will be his first game in a Bulls jersey. And, of course, Skulk Brits, the former Stormers and Lions hooker, spent a large spell at Saracens. He's back in Super Rugby. And we're talking about age. At the age of 38, he comes back into a Bulls jersey, at the number 2 jersey. And as you said, it's going to be interesting to see how Dwayne Vermeulen treats the Stormers up at Loftus-Versfeld this afternoon.
Interesting time for Super Rugby as well, isn't it? Because we have seen the problem with French rugby up in the Northern Hemisphere, despite the fact and the riches of the Top 14 tournament, which has attracted so many Southern Hemisphere players. We have seen a sort of regenerized or re-energized, I should say, Gallagher Premiership, Guinness Pro 14 as well. Some of the club rugby being played over in Europe at the moment seems to be getting on track, apart from the transfer of skills from Top 14 into the French national team as well. In the meantime, let's get back to the football, because there's been a goal.
Game on, Tom. We have got about 10 minutes to go at the Amex Stadium, and who has scored for Derby County? It's Ashley Cole.
No.
The left back popping up at the far post after a little bit of a scramble. I think that's Duffy trying to hook the ball away, and Ashley Cole completely unmarked. A funny old angle for him, but vintage Ashley Cole getting forward, picking up scraps, and it's 2-1 and we have got 10 minutes to go.
Brilliant. Keep an eye on that one. Let's get back to the rugby as well. The point I was trying to get to, Carlos, in a roundabout way, was that the idea that we're seeing sort of good brand of rugby being played up in the Northern Hemisphere all of a sudden. Super Rugby has come in for criticism in recent years for the fact that, do we really need to go through the long, long log of games in Super Rugby when we pretty much know who's going to make it to the Final Four? They need to prove themselves this year. Fair?
Absolutely, Tom. I think you're spot on. I think the competition, when they've taken it to 18 teams, has become very, very watered down. And to me, there's often not an even clash. And to your point a little bit early on the Top 14 and the Aviv, that to me, the games are much, much tightly contested. So there's more of a match of it. And I think that Super Rugby really has to have a good look at itself. I think the competition, the format of the competition is not a good format, because ultimately the best teams don't get into the final depending on what conference you're playing in. So, for example, the Lions could lose three games, but yet, because they're the leaders in the African conference, they then get through to the knockout stages. So I think they need to have a look at that. But ultimately, to me, there's too many teams. There's not enough strength versus strength.
That said, you know, you look at some of the games today, and I watched the Blues against Crusaders, 2 points in that, and it could have been either way with kicks missed at the end. Waratahs, just a single point in that Hurricanes victory as well. So close games featuring some of the big guns. Here's a little interesting point as well. So obviously no shortage of Southern Hemisphere players, with Super Cup rugby are now playing their trade up in the Northern Hemisphere. A couple of them are sat down with one of the regular rugby podcasts, and they're asked the question, if you could take one Northern Hemisphere player that you think would be a perfect fit for Super Rugby, who would it be? Let's listen into the Super Cup chat here, and then I'll come back and ask you the same question.
Super Rugby from the Northern Hemisphere, who would you like to see? Because so many players go in the other direction, and we could sit there for hours, Kevin, talk about how many Aussie players come up here, and Kiwis and the rest of it, South Africans, for goodness sake. But who would you like to go see the other way and light it up?
I'll tell you who, someone from us, is Gabriel Ipetoia. I think he would suit Super Rugby. I think that the pace of the game, he'd have to get a lot fitter. But I think his skill set and his ability, I think he would light that up. So I would love to see him go down there and have a crack.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. It's sort of, I'm trying to think of high profile English players that you'd like to see. A guy like Owen Farrell go down and test his hand at it. I think, you know, he's world class. You know, he's probably one of the best 10s, if not the best 10 in the world at the moment. And it'd be interesting to see if he could, you know, adapt his game to play a little bit differently, a little bit more risk heavy than risk averse almost, where in the Northern Hemisphere you probably play a bit more percentage, whereas, you know, going down to Super Rugby you probably get promoted to play a bit more risk. You know the defences are probably not as heavy, you know, not as quick alliance, but you've got a bit more time and space. So it'd be more interesting to see how he'd go and controlling a game, because he's you know, he's a world class player.
Alas, not my chance of that happening.
I can't see that happening.
Is there a certain player that is suited to Super Rugby? It's interesting listening to two fellows who've played Super Rugby there, and they were talking about fitness levels having to be fit, certain characters. Is that because the game is that much faster.
But I think also one of the reasons why the games are so much faster is the conditions are generally better. I mean, you know, we know what the winters are like up in the UK, especially. It gets a little bit tough there. But I think to answer that question is the game is, to me, it's a less tactic or less structured game, should I rather say, from a Super Rugby perspective than what we see in the Aviv. And to answer your question a little bit earlier, what player I'd like to see down in Super Rugby, I'd like to see Billy Vanipola have a few runs there. To me, he's a fantastic number eight. And I think, you know, if you look at the previous number eights that have featured well in Super Rugby, they're big carrying number eights. And I think he really, really could do well with one of the Super Rugby teams.
Your thoughts, please, do send them through to us now. Text us on 4001. Next up, we talk tennis with Robbie Greenfield.
Unbelievable goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti. Barasti's 10-year challenge, 29 dirham drinks menu. On sale now.
How's it looking in the football? Let's get the latest from Mr. Fortune. How's it faring?
Well, we're into the final couple of minutes, Tom. It's still Brighton 2, Derby 1, but there are jitters all around the Amex Stadium. There was an incident a couple of minutes ago. Bruno, the well-experienced centre-half, a big lofted ball into the box under absolutely no pressure, flicked it behind from a corner. Derby continued to press from one of those corners. Captain Andy Keogh forced a save from the goalkeeper. They're probing slowly. They need to be a little bit quicker, but Brighton really on the rack here. I'm fancying something, you know, the magic of the cup really happening on screen now.
Let's get back to the tennis because a little earlier on today we had the official draw. Tomorrow sees action getting underway in the women's week of the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championship. And Elina Svitolina won her 11th career title here this time last year after a successful defence of her crown in Dubai. She brushed aside Daria Kasatkina in the final round about 12 months ago. This is what she had to say on picking up that trophy for the second time.
Well, many, many congratulations, Elina. Your second consecutive title here in Dubai. Just give us your initial thoughts.
Yeah, it's amazing, you know, coming back and playing as a defending champion, Ben, it was amazing. And yeah, you know, I want to say congrats to Daria, you know, for her performance here. It was unbelievable. And, you know, definitely we're gonna see more and more her winning here.
We absolutely are. You're just 20 years of age and had such a fabulous week here. So thank you for your kind words about her. And just talk about your game plan today, Elina, because you came out, you were on fire, everything seemed to be working.
Well, I was just trying to hit the ball into the court and, you know, just try to make a rally. And, yeah, you know, in the end, I was very happy the way I handled the pressure throughout the week. And, yeah, it was a good week for me. I'm very pleased.
And your forehand seemed to be on fire, particularly today.
Well, last year it was the same, so I tried to remember the same feeling.
So those are the thoughts of Elina Svitolina around about this time last year when she picked up that trophy for the second consecutive year. Will she do it again this year? Remains to be seen. Well, it's going to be tougher, that's for sure, because just look at the field. Our man Robbie Greenfield was live down at the draw. He fed through that the audio we heard a little earlier on from Caroline Wozniacki, amongst others. Robbie joins us live on the line now. Rob, a sense of anticipation at the draw this year?
There certainly is, Tom. It really is. It's 15 of the world's top 20. I'm sure you've rolled out that stat, but it's quite incredible that so many of the top women are playing at the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championship this year. To get all of the world's top three, there's always a good feel, there's always a good draw that take part in the WTA event in Dubai. But I think last year there were quite a few late withdrawals for injury reasons and what have you. So the fact that they're all here, the fact that they're all going to be competing for this prestigious title. It is a Premier 5 event now on the WTA circuit. It is a sense of anticipation, as you mentioned. And the fact that, as well, the top two seeds reprised that fantastic final over in Melbourne of the Australian Open, Petra Kvitova and Naomi Osaka. And the head-scratching thing about Osaka is the fact that she has parted ways with her coach, who she's been so successful in getting to the world number one ranking with, Sasha Bahin, who worked with her all the way from her rise from the junior ranks through and to, for I think she was number 72 in the world as recently as 2018 or the start of last year. And she's now, of course, world number one. And it's all a little bit puzzling as to why they've split up and gone their own separate ways, given the fact that Osaka has just won two Grand Slams under Bahin's tutelage. But that's the situation. And what if we got a repeat of that final down under? Kvitova, who's in amazing form this year. She's already won over in Sydney. And, of course, Naomi Osaka is really the new superstar of women's tennis.
We've been talking about some of the wealth of talent that we've got. I mean, before we do that, though, I mean, as you quite rightly point out, Naomi Osaka splitting from her coach, and just a week before that, having to pull out of a tournament ongoing in the region at the moment because of back trouble. But from what you're hearing at the official draw a little earlier on, she is part of proceedings.
She certainly is, yeah. She's in the draw. She's got a bye through into the second round, as does the other top seed in that draw. So we've got a nice order of play for the centre court, the stadium court down at the Dubai GT3 Tennis Championship tomorrow. It alternates. So usually the tournament gets underway on a Monday, the main draw proper. But of course, this year, it does all get underway and it does all start on Sunday. And we'll see the top names in action from Monday onwards. It's going to be frantic, Tom. It's going to be frenetic. I know you're going to be down there as well at some stage. And yeah, we're looking forward to it. There's the women's game, I think the stat that blew my mind ahead of the Australian Open was that 12 women could have achieved world number one ranking with a victory down under. I mean, that just goes to show how stacked and how tight the rankings are at the very top of the women's game. Now, Naomi Osaka has won the last two big ones. The US Open, who can forget that remarkable final against Serena Williams when, well, let's be honest, Serena had a complete meltdown in that match. But Naomi Osaka outplayed her, and let's take nothing away from her. And that tremendous three-set battle that she had with Kvitova, she's really proven herself to be the new sensation. So, you know, she's the one to beat. But as you mentioned, a few injury concerns coming into this tournament. She didn't do too well in it last year. Of course, this was before this meteoric rise that she's been under. So, again, you look at the draw and you just think everyone from, you know, the defending champion who loves it here, Elina Svitolina, you know, unbeaten in the last 2 years at the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championship. You go all the way down to someone like Garbiñe Muguruza, a Wimbledon champion, a French Open champion in years past who's lost her form. She's 12th seed going into this tournament. She's in action tomorrow, taking on the Ukrainian Diana Yastremenska on centre court. But there's just so many big names. If they're a big name, other than Sloane Stephens, who's the world number four, they're here in Dubai this week. It's really quite remarkable.
Robbie, looking at this lineup and hearing to what you're saying, do you believe Osaka does go in as a favourite into this tournament, especially with the past week that Simona Halep has had?
No, I'm not sure you can say she's the favourite, simply because of, as Tom mentioned, a little injury concern. And I feel like these weeks are very much horses for courses. So you look at Svitolina, she's got the record here in recent years. She doesn't perhaps have the strength of form coming into the event. She's number six seed. I think she was number three this time last year. She's sixth ranked going into this week. But yeah, as you mentioned, Simona Halep, obviously a very, very strong contender. And then former winners. You look at Caroline Wozniacki. She's been slowly getting her form back, having won that Australian Open just over 12 months ago and not really performing to those heights for the rest of 2018. You've seen a little upturn in form for the Danish player. So she's certainly one to watch. Angelique Kerber always plays well here. She's the fifth seeded player this week. And then you look at Petra Kvitova, who's had a phenomenal 12 months. Five tournaments on the WTA circuit last year. She's already won down in Sydney. She reached the final of the Australian Open. I'd actually, given her form, I'd make her the marginal favourite. She's a past winner here. She won in 2013. And I would say just the shade ahead of Osaka and maybe Svitolina, Petra Kvitova is probably the favourite going into this.
It's all set to get underway tomorrow down at the Dubai International Tennis Stadium. You've been down there today for the official draw. Rob, how's it looking?
Oh, it's pristine, isn't it, Tom? It's such a fantastic venue. And what they always say, and Tom McLaughlin of Dubai Duty Free, keen to emphasise this point, that it's rather unique in the sense that it allows such a close proximity to these players. The fans in the village really get to interact and to see the players up close. It's quite a, for a large stadium, there's an intimate atmosphere down there, and it's just it's a fantastic venue. It's one of the old school places, of course, in Dubai. It's great to hang out and enjoy a beverage on the evening and you know, enjoy the tennis as well. So there's a real nice atmosphere. The players are all staying at the hotel just next door. And, you know, it's building up to a fantastic tournament. And I'm excited to see action get underway tomorrow. And I'm sure everyone who's heading down there will be excited to see some top quality tennis.
Gender broadcasting live from the tennis tomorrow morning. Off script are going to be there pretty much throughout the week, aren't they?
We're going to be there for both weeks, the WTA and the ATP tournaments as well. We've got a nice little outdoor position just in the heart of the village. So hopefully we're going to be dragging a few players into our broadcast booth at some stage of the proceedings and getting their thoughts as well. But yes, we're going to be down there, looking forward to it. And yeah, tune into Dubai 103.8 for all your tennis coverage. But more to the point, get down there because it is promising. And don't forget Roger. And I must say, I know we're jumping ahead of ourselves a little, but Roger could win his 100th ATP event in Dubai next week. How about that? That would be very special if he got to the big 100 in Dubai. And it'd be quite fitting given the fact he's won the tournament 7 times. But before that, we've got an amazing ladies tournament to look forward to. And it all starts tomorrow down at the Dubai GT Free Tennis Championship Stadium.
I am sorry to do this to you, Robbie Greenfield, but I am going to have to push you for a prediction. So we can scroll it down on our piece of paper and then revisit this on Saturday next week.
And expose me for the charade that I am when it comes to making sporting predictions. I will go with a lady who I caught up with at the draw a little earlier. I will say that Petra Kvitova is going to gain a measure of revenge over Naomi Osaka. I think Kvitova is going to lift the title come the end of the week.
Good on you, Rob. Looking forward to seeing you down at the tennis throughout the week. Our thanks to Robbie Greenfield. And, of course, keep it locked on Dubai I-103.8 for updates from Robbie, from Chris, from all the team at Offscript, and, of course, throughout the week on the station, your official partner of the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championship. What is next on the agenda? Well, one person that we were talking about there, and certainly cannot be discounted given her pedigree, given the fact that she is a former world number one, given the fact that she's under this new fitness regime as well, certainly one to watch out for, is Angelique Kerber.
Angelique Kerber is back.
I just started the tournament like everybody, starting from zero. Always trying to play point by point and not thinking too much about the score. I think that I really tried to fight until the last point.
One of the points of the match. And Angelique Kerber outthinks, outwits, and outclass.
You have to believe in yourself and also going for it.
This is The Grill, live from Barasti. Barasti's 10-year challenge, 29 dirham drinks menu. On sale now.
Yeah, get down, be part of that promotion, be part of the grill promotion. Just a little quick reminder to you all, if you come on down to the rooftop garden during the hours of the grill, that's 4 till 7 each and every Saturday, you get a very, very good deal. Just 20 dirhams for regular beverages at the bar up here at the rooftop bar garden. That's only during the hours of the grill, so take advantage of that. Let's get around the grounds for you now. How did it finish in the first or the early game in the Emirates FA Cup? Let's get the latest from Matt Fortune.
Yeah, unfortunately, Tom, I can't bring you good news of a late goal for Derby County. It finished 2-1 to Brighton, but what an end to the game. We had goalkeeper fumbles, penalty shouts at both ends. It was a really exciting game. And going back to that thing we often talk about, the magic of the cup, there is just something quite wonderful about the last couple of minutes of a cup tie. We even had the goalkeeper going up for a last-minute free kick. But it wasn't to be. Brighton move into the quarterfinals. They're the second team in the hat alongside Premier League Watford. And for Derby County, it's back to concentrate on the Premier League. But one other game that I'd really like to bring your attention to. My hero of the day is the former Republic of Ireland international, Simon Cox, now playing at Southend United. Now, if you remember earlier, Tom, Southend were 3-0 down at home to high-flying Portsmouth after just 31 minutes. Well, Simon Cox scored in the 36th minute. He then scored a penalty in the 78th minute. And in the 87th minute, he bagged an equaliser. And that's bad news for Pompey. A big old club now. Defeat for draw for them today. A win for the side above them, Barnsley, would put them 5 points away from the automatic promotion spots. And for a club as big as Pompey, that is a big gap to make up.
Levante spanked Celta Vigo a little earlier on. We're waiting for Rayo Vallecano taking on Atletico Madrid. 7:15 kickoff for that one. Real Sociedad against Leganes and Barcelona against Real Valladolid. The late games over in Spain. Over in Germany, the 6:30s have just just got underway. One goal to bring you there. Wolfsburg have taken an early lead against Mainz in just the fourth minute of that game. And there's been goals in the Championship as well. We said that it might be a bit of a dram affair, but a couple of goals in the second half. What's the latest down there?
Indeed. So the early kickoff in the Championship, Rotherham United are hosting Sheffield Wednesday. In fact, as you come to me, Tom, there has been a third goal in that game. It was 1-1. Sheffield Wednesday took the lead in the 35th minute, but John Taylor equalised very, very quickly for Rotherham. But with 15 minutes to go, we've got a second goal. It hasn't quite come up on the screen who it is, but we do have a 2-1 lead for Rotherham.
Right, let's go to the rugby, because you've got a couple of games underway in the Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah, Tom, what I can tell you is the Saints kicked off against the Sharks. 30 minutes played there and the Saints are in full control. Two tries by scrum of Kubus Reinach, a try by your good friend Tom Wood. Saints leading the Sharks 27-3. In the French League, Clermont are taking on Bordeaux. What I can tell you is Clermont lead that fixture 16-8 with just 41 minutes played. In the Pro 14, Zebra are taking on Leinster. That game is live at the moment. Still no score there. And then in a couple of minutes of time, it's Super Rugby time again at 7:15 this evening, UAE time. It's the Bulls taking on the Stormers. That game coming to you live from Pretoria in South Africa.
Wimbledon against Millwall, or should I say AFC Wimbledon against Millwall from 7 o'clock. But do stay tuned to Dubai Eye 103.8, Newport County against Man City. Let's work through both of those games. Let's start with that Wimbledon game, if we can, Matt Fortune, because Wimbledon against Millwall, two teams with something of a checkered past, you know. Ask a fan of either of those two teams, they love them. Ask any other football fan, well, it might be open to a little bit of debate. But what can we expect from this game? Any interesting little storylines?
Well, I think, Tom, there's always interesting storylines when you look at AFC Wimbledon. Actually, my local club, AFC Wimbledon, reborn in 2003. For anybody that doesn't know the story, of course, the old Crazy Gang, one of the iconic team, shall we say, of English football, won the FA Cup famously in 1990, beating Liverpool 1-0, I believe. Well, now, AFC Wimbledon, they were relocated as they were at the Dons way back at the start of the millennium, but now they're back. They are struggling in the league, truth be told. They're about 8 points from safety at the in League One, but they are playing one division above the team that really took their name when they relocated MK Dons. But this cup run has been something of a welcome distraction for the Dons, and I'm trying to drag on as long as I can without bringing up how they got to this stage, Tom. So I'll let you tell the audience, how was it that AFC Wimbledon ended up in the hat to place Millwall today?
With that rather special and stunning victory against West Ham, which saw West Ham go out in the fourth round for what, second year on the trot now, maybe
Indeed.
Even the third year, I think,
our league opposition.
It was the big headline story, the big shock of the last round, which Chris McCarthy has taken much pleasure in rubbing in.
Indeed it was, and they are a great story, Wimbledon, and Kings Meadow, as I say, my local club, that is not a comfortable place for anybody to go, so you can almost forgive West Ham for feeling a little bit uncomfortable. It's tight, it's grim, it's flanked on all sides by council estates. It's a real gritty stadium to go to. So it's going to be Millwall heading down there today. Millwall themselves struggling in the Championship. They got Neil Harris in charge. Neil Harris and Wally Downs now in charge of AFC Wimbledon. Both very, very good friends. Wally Downs, for anybody that does remember, was actually part of that Crazy Gang that won the FA Cup back in the 90s. A real good old cup tie. It's certainly not going to draw the big viewers. There's not going to be any magic of the cup, but it's just going to be a good old gritty game of football. I'm quite looking forward to it.
That's live from 7 o'clock. And then live from 9:30, we've got Newport County against Manchester City. Now, don't write off Newport County. Why am I saying that? Let's listen to Pep, because he certainly isn't.
Normally when we play in the Premier League games, about what they do, the players already know it. Most of them, especially in the second leg, but they don't know. They didn't know the players, now they know a little bit with Wilmot, with Matt, with Bennett, with Amund. So they have both the strikers score 14, 15 goals. They are incredible good in the set pieces, in the throw-ins. And they go into the second balls. They use perfect the channels to provoke the typical actions to put the ball in the box. When we defend deeper, especially in our box, we're going to suffer because they are taller and stronger than us. So in some areas they are better than us. And we have to try to bring our game in the way we are stronger than them. So that is which team is going to control these areas or bring their own game in their own side in that moment will be advantage to go through.
Well, so what you like about Pep Guardiola, but one thing you can't say is he's certainly done his homework on his opposition, and he certainly believes that they're not going to be a pushover.
No, I mean, they do say that Pep is meticulous to a T. I'm really quite impressed by that. I mean, he's being very kind. There's 82 positions in the English league ladder between these two sides, but there is cause for hope at Newport. Of course, last season they took Spurs to a replay at Wembley, so having held Spurs at this famous old ground. And also an interesting stat here, City have won just one of their last six away games to lower league opposition. So they obviously, all these players obviously don't fancy it down in those parts. And Pep was interesting there. He said they're going to have to be better at, or focus on what they're better at, which is, of course, playing that sharp, short football on the deck. But that pitch is not going to hold up very well. So it's going to be interesting to watch. I mean, I don't really give Newport too much hope, but it's certainly going to be fascinating.
Where on earth are all the big teams in the fifth round of the FA Cup? Those are the obviously you've got Man City there, and they could, in theory, if they continue their form, do the quadruple. Could they do the quadruple? Possibly. Who knows? We could talk about that one in just a few moments' time. But then you go to the games tomorrow on Sunday. Bristol City against Wolves is the early one. Doncaster against Palace. Swansea against Brentford. I mean, they're not exactly sort of marquee fixtures, but then again, I suppose it goes back to that point that we were making at the very top of this show, that this is a competition that is now an opportunity for all teams.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Liverpool out in the third round, Arsenal out in the fourth round, Spurs out in the round before. It's interesting, and I... We were talking about big clubs, Tom, but yes, okay. West Ham out in the previous round. There are two clubs you didn't touch on there. You've got Monday night's big game is, of course, Chelsea versus Manchester United. But still, you know, you're looking...
One of those is going to go, isn't it?
One of those is going to go, exactly. And you're looking at the fact AFC Wimbledon versus Millwall, two non-Premier League teams. So one of them will be in the draw for the quarterfinals. Swansea against Brentford, also teams from the lower league. So two of the eight quarterfinalists are definitely going to be lower league oppositions. And you would fancy someone like Doncaster. Palace, when you look at those Premier League clubs, all of them, Palace are almost certainly not going to go down. Please don't save that clip just in case it does come back to haunt me. But you're going to think that they're not going to be playing a full strength side. So could Doncaster spring a surprise there? It is interesting. Is it going to draw masses of people to watch? You need to look back at, say, Wigan, of course, beating Manchester City in the final maybe 4 or 5 years ago with a last-minute goal from a corner. Those are the kind of stories I like. It does get a little bit tiresome. Of course, my beloved club, Arsenal, winning it twice in a row wasn't tiresome, or three times out of four. But it is good sometimes when you have a story to cling on to, and so hopefully it will happen this year.
And let's just focus on that Monday night clash. It's going to be a late one. It is going to be at 11:30 in the evening local time here in the UAE. It will be Manchester United against Chelsea. Manchester United with... something to think about. They lost a game under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer earlier on this week, and they've lost a couple of players as well. No Anthony Martial, no Jesse Lingard, both out with injury. How will they fare?
Well, you don't panic because you've lost the game. You don't change everything because it doesn't change the mindset at all. We need to keep working on the way we want to play football, the way we... approach the games will always be in an attacking positive mind. We want to go down to Chelsea, we want to have Liverpool here, we still want to impose ourselves on those games, but there's quite a few other teams that have injuries, so you adapt and you have to manage that.
Chelsea, it's a funny time for them as well, isn't it, with what's gone on in the past week, and they've got a great FA Cup record against United, but again, they've got their own issues to deal with, haven't they?
I was just asked the question here because in 1999 we apparently beat them down at Stamford Bridge to get to the final. So then we beat Arsenal as well. We beat Liverpool. So we did it the hard way then, and we might have to, or we'll have to do it the hard way this year as well if we want to get to the final. So looking forward to it.
They're going to go down to the nation's capital, to London, to Chelsea to play them. So it's going to be 11:30, as I said, on Monday night. Fifth round, Chelsea, Manchester United. Let's go to a Man U fan to get his thoughts on this one. Confident? Do you want to continue?
Well, we should be confident after what happened to to Chelsea last week against City. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I think the big thing for Manchester United will be to see what team he fields against Chelsea. Anthony Martial and Jesse Lingard are two huge blows, because I think you could see how he was selecting the team, and obviously those two players were core in Ollie's selection. But Tom, it won't be easy down at the Bridge. It never is. But I kind of fancy United to get one over Chelsea, and the reason why I'm saying so is I still think, yes, they lost to PSG. They were in all honesty, in December, when they looked at that fixture and the draw came out, they were never planning to win that game. I just obviously, with the way United have been performing, a lot of people expected them to give a PSG a bit of a run, but PSG have just got such quality players. But coming to Monday night's fixture, I believe that it's going to be a tight fought battle. But I kind of fancy United, and the reason why I'm saying that is I just think that United at the moment have got a much happier dressing room than what Chelsea do. I think there's clearly some problems there at Chelsea. It just kind of seems to me that there's no real fight. If I look at the way the players performed against City, yes, a very good City team, but I just still felt that Chelsea were very, very flat. And I think if Chelsea come with that kind of same attitude to Monday night's game, it should be a victory for Man United.
Yeah, Carl's absolutely right. And I think that Ollie touched on the fact that he shouldn't change too much just because he's got a couple of injuries. But what Carl said is that sort of pace, that direct running that Martial brings, that Lingard brings, is absolutely core to what Manchester United were doing right under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And I think the alternative is for them to push Romelu Lukaku back through the middle, to push Marcus Rashford outside. And Rashford is obviously very strong there, and he will provide that direct running, but you are taking a lot out of that forward line by moving Rashford out to the flank. And on Chelsea, is it too far to say that this is last chance saloon for Sarri? Of course, they're out of the top four. They sort of laboured to victory in the Europa League in midweek. On Thursday evening against Malmo. Out of a cup competition, if it's a big defeat, and more importantly, a home defeat in front of those fans, because this is the first time that Chelsea fans have had a chance to get at their manager since that humbling at the Etihad. I think it's going to be a real interesting game. And if it's a big win or a very comfortable win for Manchester United, I think the big story coming out of it will be the end of Maurizio Sarri.
Fascinating week of sport to look forward to. It's been a fascinating week for many over the last 7 days, none more so than our next guest. Stay tuned. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to be talking to all the crew at Team Angel Wolf.
A fabulous goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Apologies to one and all for... Let's try this one. Nope. Apologies to one and all for the problems with the connection, but thank you all the same for sticking with us. Just enough time for us to get around the grounds then and work out what is happening in the world of sport. Let's start with the cricket for you, shall we? Pakistan Super League being played down at the Dubai International Cricket Stadium. Islamabad United scored 125 for the loss of 7 wickets. They're playing the Multan Sultans, who are currently 112 for 5. So simple equation there. Multan Sultans require another 14 runs with 5 wickets and 13 balls. So 14 from 13. I'll keep an eye on that one. And we might well have a result before the end of play. Let's go to the rugby.
Yeah, Tom, just sticking with cricket first. Well, all the messages I'm getting are calling the Proteas chokers. South Africa have lost to Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka won that game by 1 wicket. And all the credit has to go to Pereira, 153 not out. Turning our attention to the rugby, a couple of live games at the moment. In the Aviva Premiership, the Northampton Saints lead the Sale Sharks 32 points to 10. In the Guinness Pro 14, Leinster leading Zebre 14 points to 0. And then, of course, in the top 14 in France, is Clermont playing Bordeaux. They lead that game 19 points to 8.
That's about it from us here on The Grill. Do stick around and enjoy the sport. As a quick reminder to you all, if you would like to listen to live football, you're going to get it a little later on. Newport County against Manchester City. Matt Fortune's been alongside us throughout proceedings this afternoon. Surely not Matt Fortune. Or are we going to see another of the big guns fall?
Do you know what? Let's say we are, Tom. Let's say it's going to be a very scrappy 2-1 win for Newport, scoring late on from a set piece.
Looking forward to that one from 9:30. It's live here on Dubai I-103.8. Matt, thanks so much indeed to you for all your hard yards throughout the afternoon.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Thanks also to you, CVR. Got much planned throughout the week?
Yeah, Tom. Heading back home now to watch the Bulls against the Stormers. Then, of course, you'll see me at the tennis for the
rest
of the week.
Looking forward to that. Do stick around for the tennis. In fact, we're going to be broadcasting live from the tennis around about this time next week. So over the next couple of weeks, we'll be live from our position in the tennis village down at the Dubai International Cricket Stadium, at the Dubai International Tennis Stadium. Don't go to the cricket one because you won't see much tennis down there. But do come on down and say hello to us. So that's from tomorrow. In fact, the agenda will be broadcasting live from there from 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Thanks so much, Shadi, for tuning in. Stay tuned, and as I said, from 9:30 this evening, live coverage courtesy of our friends at TalkSport of Newport County against Man City. Bye bye.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.